Good morning, and it's wonderful to be here together, being able to worship and hear from God's word, and just allow him to, again, lead us, guide us, and just allow us to hear something fresh and new that, again, would be encouraging us to continue seeking and growing in our faith. Turn with me to Hebrews chapter 11, verses 1 to 6. Now faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. This is what the ancients were commended for. By faith we understand that the universe was formed at God's command, so that what is seen was not made out of what was visible. By faith Abel offered God a better sacrifice than Cain did. By faith he was commended as a righteous man when God spoke well of his offerings. And by faith he still speaks, even though he is dead. By faith, Enoch was taken from this life so that he did not experience death. He could not be found because God had taken him away. For before he was taken, he was commanded as one who pleased God. And without faith, it was impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. Let's pray. God, this morning, we are again coming with humble hearts, maybe broken hearts, to draw near to you, to hear your voice in your word, and allow it again to continue to draw us closer to you, give us understanding, just gain a blessing. May we again learn something from you this morning. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. The 11th chapter of Hebrews is one well known for its words. Why? Because it speaks of the question that so many are continuing to ask. What is faith? And how does it work? In Hebrews, there's an element which is regarded as absolutely essential to the development of the Christian faith. And that is the quality of faith. It is what makes the Christian different from the non-Christian, one who believes and one who doesn't. I attended a powwow with a friend when I lived in Winnipeg, and I can say for a white guy, I have rhythm, and that comes from a four-beat rhythm being hit on a drum. But to watch a powwow, you can see that they listen to a completely different drum. That is an exact description of faith. Christians walk as though they listen to another drum beat. This chapter centers on and focuses upon what faith is. There's a need for clarity on this. I find this word faith is greatly misunderstood, and there are many peculiar ideas of what it is. It might help to show, first of all, what faith is not. Faith, for instance, is not positive thinking. That is something quite different. Faith is not a hunch that is followed. Faith is not hoping for the best, hoping that everything will turn out all right. Faith is not a feeling of optimism. Faith is none of these things, though all of them have been identified as faith. Well, what is faith then? The first six verses of this wonderful chapter answer that question, and the rest of the chapter tells us how it works. We will limit our thoughts to these, seven verses now. The author's not discussing faith in general, but faith in God. If this is important, then it's essential that we know what it is. In these verses, there is a definition in which we see the elements of faith. This, by the way, is the only definition of faith in the Bible. The first and second verses and the sixth verse, taken together, help define faith for us. Here we see the elements of faith. Now, faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. For by it, the men of old received divine approval. And without faith, it is impossible to please God. For whoever would draw near to God must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who seek him. Note how those verses indicate that faith begins with hope. Faith commences with things hoped for. That is, it starts with a sense of discontent. We can never have much faith unless you are dissatisfied with the way you are now and are longing for something better. That's the first note. If you do not feel dissatisfied with the way you are, it will be impossible for you to exercise any faith. That is why all through the Bible, the great enemy of faith is a complacent spirit, an attitude of selfishness with the status quo. But if you are dissatisfied, if you are looking for something better, if you are not content to be merely a person living out life of eating, sleeping, and amusing yourself and eventually dying, then you're in a position to exercise faith. Someone who has described that kind of faith life, this way in this poem. In this world we eat, sleep, and be merry. For what reason was I born? To partake in what is around and get my fill, just to leave behind an empty dish. Perhaps there are many who would like to have faith, but are never ready for it, because they are not dissatisfied. They must demand of life more than the mere mechanics of living. You want more, do you not? You're looking for something better. Then that's the first note of faith. Verse 6 puts it, he who would draw near to God. That's looking for more of life than is visible on the surface. Such a person is not satisfied to have a life on the surface and no depth or meaning. A person wants to find something to deepen life. And that's the first element of faith. Faith is hope. Things hoped for. Life that goes beyond the here and now. That comes to the conviction of things not seen. Not only a desire for something better, but an awareness of something else. That is faith. This was me. But my conviction, before I walked to church, I came to be aware that there was more beyond what I could see. We become aware that we are surrounded by an invisible spirit kingdom. That which is seen is not the whole explanation of life. There are realities which cannot be seen, weighed, measured, analyzed, or touched, and yet which are as real and vital as anything we can see. In fact, they are more real because they are the explanation of the things which can be seen. We must understand there is a spiritual kingdom that exists. This is so beautifully seen in the words and teachings of our Lord Jesus. He speaks of God the Father as though he were standing right there, invisible and yet present. He speaks of the world as a great family home in which there's a father, which a father's heart is welcoming us. He does not see the universe as an impersonal machine, grinding and clanking along as science so frequently does, but he sees it as an invisible but very real spiritual kingdom. Again, verse 6 says the same, that he that comes to God must believe that he is, that God exists. There are some who say that's the hard part. That's what's difficult. No, it's not. The easy thing in the world to do is to believe that God exists. It requires effort to disbelieve. It requires no effort to believe. The interesting thing is that everyone in the world, without exception, starts out believing God exists. It's only when they are carefully trained to disbelieve that any come to the place of declaring God does not exist. Light from God is streaming in on every side, and all we need to do is open up our eyes to see it and know that God is there. That's why children have no problem with this. The concept of God ought to be one of the most difficult ideas for children to grasp, since God cannot be seen. But the amazing thing is, children have no difficulty at all in believing that God exists. It requires long and careful effort to train the mind to reject this evidence and explain it on other terms. When I was in my sociology class in high school, I was amazed to see the tremendous effort my teacher took to explain away the evidence for the existence of God and to find other explanations for it. He did all that work to say, "I am an atheist, thank God." There's also a third element of faith, the assurance of things hoped for. Faith is the assurance that things hoped for, the things you are longing to have, the better man or woman you would like to be, will be achieved by acting on the revelation of the things unseen. Let us put it all together now. It begins with a longing to be something better and an awareness that within the universe there is something else. And that something or someone else has revealed itself. As we act on that revelation, we shall achieve the things hoped for, the something better. That is the story of the whole 11th chapter of Hebrews. It is the story of faith. It will work for anyone at any level. Here, by the way, is the answer to that persistent question we so frequently face. What about the heathen who never hears the gospel? They have the opportunity to exercise faith. For faith, at its simplest level, is he that comes to God must believe that God exists and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Any person who wants to be better, who believes that God exists and who obey the revelation that they have, no matter at whatever level they may find it, expecting God to give them more as he goes along, will come to the place where they will win divine approval, the place of knowing Jesus Christ. Without that faith, it is impossible to please God. Now let's look at the three demonstrations the author gives here to illustrate faith. There are more than three in this chapter, of course, but the first three illustrate what faith is. The rest reveal how faith works. I want to spend a brief moment with these three men who lived by faith and who chose to believe God when the world around believed something else. The result was that which one found reality. Each solved the main problem of his life. Each realized his deepest desire and gained the gift of righteousness, the approval of God. First is Abel. By faith, Abel offered God a more acceptable sacrifice than Cain, through which he received approval as righteousness. God bearing witness by accepting his gifts, he died, but through his faith, he is still speaking. Here are the world's first brothers, Abel and Cain, sons of Adam and Eve. They lived when the world was young, when everything was much different than it is today. It was before the days of income tax and smog and clogged highways and the terrible problems that we struggle with. Yet despite the fact that they enjoyed what we call the simple life, they longed for something better. They hungered after God. For no matter how good life is, it is never good enough if you do not have God. Man is never satisfied without him. And these boys hungered for God. Both had been told the way by which they could come to him. This is implied in the account. But Cain chose to believe a lie, the lie that is still very evident today, that one way is as good as another. He took the way that was easiest for him to work out, and the result was he was rejected. For of course, it was always a lie that one way is as good as another. That never works in anything, nature, life, or with God. But Abel believed God and came the way God had outlined. When he believed God, he discovered a great truth, the truth that man cannot have God's ability until he is prepared to recognize the poverty of his own. That is what a blood sacrifice teaches. There must be a life laid down before one can have the life of God. That's the whole point. You cannot have his ability for your problems until you are first ready to lay aside any dependence upon your own. That's the greatest truth that man can ever learn. If we learn that here, as some of us are learning it, what a difference it makes in life. Because Abel was the first man to learn that truth, the writer says he is still speaking to us, and we still need to listen. Then there's Enoch. Enoch was the seventh man from Adam. By faith, Enoch was taken up so that he should not see death, and he was not found, because God had taken him. Now, before he was taken, he was attested as having pleased God. In the book of Genesis, we're told that for 65 years, this man lived like anyone else in his day, no different from the rest of his age. But the age of 65, something happened. It was not that he got his social security, he found a deeper security than that. The record says he began to walk with God. He began for the first time to enjoy the continuous presence of an unseen person. And he related his life daily to that unseen person who was with him. When he did that, he discovered a great reality, just as you will. If you try it, he found a fellowship that death could not interrupt. According to the record, he never died. He was one of two men in the scriptures of whom it is recorded that they never died. He was not found, that is all. God took him, the record says, without death. I love the kid's story of Enoch. Enoch was a man who learned to walk with God, and they used to take long walks together. One day they walked so far that God said, "Look, Enoch, it's too far for you to go back. Just come on home with me." So he walked home with God. He became forever a picture of what death is to the Christian. Only an incident, hardly worth mentioning. That is the reality that Enoch discovered by faith. Then there's Noah. Noah believed God in a unique way. By faith, Noah, being warned by God concerning events as yet unseen, took heed and constructed an ark for the saving of his household. By this, he condemned the world and became an heir of righteousness, which comes by faith. Noah believed that God was in control of history. All the things these men believed, we are asked to believe today. There's no difference. Noah believed that God was in charge of history. He believed when God told him there was going to be a great flood, When Noah told this around everyone, they began to laugh and say how foolish he was. But Noah went right ahead and built a boat. Now, that's not unusual in these days. But he built a 500 miles, built it 500 miles from the nearest ocean, 1,000 times bigger for his own family. And when he got it finished, he filled it with animals. I'm sure I know what they called Noah in those days, the nutty Noah. But he accepted, he anticipated history and thus showed how short-sighted the world is when it walks in the light of its own reason, alone. He was led on by his faith to become, as this text says, the heir of righteousness which comes by faith, i.e. in Christ Jesus, and became a part of the divine family. That is what faith is. Faith is believing there is another dimension to life other than those which can be touched, tasted, seen, or felt. There's more to life than that. There's also the realm of the spirit, the invisible spiritual kingdom of God. All the ultimate answers of life lie in that kingdom. Faith believes that God, in his grace, has stepped over the boundary into human history and told us some great and very valuable facts. Faith believes them and adjusts its life to those facts and walks on those on that basis. The world does not understand and oftentimes uses derogatory terms for those who walk by faith. Certainly, they are not oddballs in every way, although in some way every Christian is. But though the world does not understand why, the man who walks by faith wins the day because he has come in touch with things as they really are. And that is the glory of faith. Do you have faith? Are you a man or a woman, boy or girl of faith? Is there a hunger for something better in your life? Is there a conviction that God is ready to answer your cry? In fact, he has already answered it in Christ. Are you ready then to commit yourself to obey what he says, to accept his verdict, his viewpoint, as the true one despite the clamant cries that will pour out into your ear from every side saying that this is wrong? That is what faith is. And if you are that kind of man or woman, you can join this parade of faith in this unfinished chapter. I read this past week of an account of a Christian woman in Africa who died. And the village gathered to pay its respect at the funeral. There were many kind things said about her, but one of the most revealing was the comment, "If the Bible is going to be rewritten in heaven, this woman ought to be in it." Now, the Bible's not going to be rewritten in heaven. It never needs to be rewritten, for it is truth. And the truth never needs to change. But one thing will happen to it. There are certain sections of it that will be extended because they are unfinished. The book of Acts, for instance, and the 11th chapter of Hebrews. We are still following the same program. God is still calling us to live by faith. Let's pray. God, we thank you for this morning and helping us to, again, hear direction and understanding of what faith is and see, Father, its response through others in your word. May we, Father, not complicate it. May we just keep it simple and understand, Father, that it takes for us just to believe in you. We thank you for sending your Son, Jesus Christ, to break that barrier and allow us to come into a relationship with you through faith. Bless us this week, Lord, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen.